Good morning. Welcome to our worship today, the first Sunday now of January. It is Epiphany Sunday. Let's begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for revealing your Son to me and all believers on the pages of sacred scripture. Through him, you have led me to see my forgiveness, brought peace to my heart, given me a reason to live a life of joy and praise. As one who has seen the light, lead me to worship you with an undivided heart and guide me to put the lessons I learned today into my daily life. I pray not only for myself, but also for all who are listening with me today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We begin our service in the name of the Father, who is the Father of the heavenly lights, and of the Son, who is the light of the world, and of the Holy Spirit, who reveals that light to us through the gospel. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. And therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. My dear friends, God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven us all of our sins. And by the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us always the strength to live according to his will. Amen. And we pray, Lord God, by the leading of a star you once made known to the nations, your one and only Son, guide us also, who know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today, then, is the epistle lesson for today from Ephesians chapter 3. The mystery is made known, the Apostle Paul informs us. He writes, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." This is God's word. And our second lesson then is the gospel for today from Matthew chapter 2. Jesus is the star. We begin reading at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the Gospel of our Lord. We confess our Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now then to our message for today. When I say these three Bible characters, the names of them, can you see what they might have in common? The Apostle Thomas, Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus, and King Solomon. What each has in common is commonly called typecasting. Thomas, the apostle, is typecast as doubting Thomas. Martha, well, she is typecast as a worrywart homemaker who had to do everything just right for Jesus instead of listening to his word. And then King Solomon is typecast as a person whose entire life was just maybe one massive shipwreck. Well, because of his moment of doubt at the resurrection, we forget that Thomas was a solid disciple for our Lord Jesus for 3 long years. And then after Jesus ascended into heaven, Thomas was an active pastor and missionary in India. Or we forget that Martha gave one of the most beautiful confessions of faith found on the pages of Scripture at the death of her brother Lazarus. "I know that he will live again." And we also forget that King Solomon, as he began his 40-year reign over Israel, was a man of God who gave glory to God with his life. And that comes out in the words of a queen who also gave glory to God with her life. And both the king and the queen today teach us to give glory to God with our lives. I'll read the lesson. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 10. We begin reading at verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your men must be! How happy your officials, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom! Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel, because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel. He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. This is God's word. I would imagine that perhaps some of you would love to be a queen. Queens are pampered, they're rich, and I'm sure the Queen of Sheba was. Sheba is located on the southwest tip of the Red Sea. It's about 1,000 miles from Israel. Now, why would the queen take such a long trip? It was because she had a longing in her heart. The queen may have arrived with great wealth, but she had a longing in her heart that needed to be filled. I read the first two verses again. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, precious stones, she came to Solomon, talked with him about all she had on her mind. The queen may have come, being rich and pampered, but she also displayed a genuine humility in asking hard questions that she did not have the answers to, and those hard questions were spiritual questions. She had doubts about who the true God was. She had doubts about the guilt of her sin that had troubled her, the fear of death that followed her like an ugly shadow. Our lesson says she had all these things on her mind, meaning she couldn't stop thinking about them. They troubled her. Well, as we read on, we're told Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Now, why wasn't it hard for Solomon to answer the queen's questions? Well, let me ask you, who is the true God? Let me ask you, what do you do with the guilt of your sin? And let me ask you, why are you not afraid to die? Like Solomon, you can answer those hard questions because God has shared his glory with you. The glory of the gospel, the glory of Jesus, the cross, the forgiveness of sins in our Lord. And what was the queen's reaction? It took her breath away. She was overwhelmed. Not by the glory and the splendor of Solomon, but by the glory and the splendor of Solomon's God. All these things that took her breath away, she recognized as blessings coming from the gracious hand of the Lord. Now you might be saying to yourself, now how do you know that? How do we know that about the queen? Are we making some assumptions here? No, we're not. Actually, it is our Lord Jesus himself who points to the true faith that took the queen's breath away. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, our Savior says, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. This woman came 1,000 miles to listen to the gospel. And those Pharisees whom Jesus was speaking to there in Matthew, they were privileged to see him face to face, but they rejected his words. And by telling us that she would rise and testify to God's judgment against the unbelief on the last day, Jesus is clearly marking the queen as a believer. And not only did Jesus' words testify to the queen's faith, the queen's own words testify to her faith. We read verses 8 and 9. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. The queen may have come with a longing in her heart, but she didn't leave that way. From listening to her, you would get the feeling that as she traveled home, she did so on the wings of faith, praising the Lord. And like the Queen, King Solomon gave glory to God. Solomon was an author and a composer, an architect, a statesman. He was a brainiac. The Bible says that no other human being came close to him. Solomon was the most gifted man the Lord ever put on this planet. And how did Solomon respond to those blessings from the Lord? Well, with, first of all, genuine humility. Just like the queen who visited him, he didn't have a plaque on his many blessings which read, "I earned this." He acknowledged with humility that everything he had came from the Lord. And Solomon was also a very multi-talented person who used the talents God had given him to the fullest. And in doing so, he was giving glory to God. And also Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 1,005 songs. And one of the best things he ever wrote was this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Solomon cultivated his relationship with the Lord privately, through personal study, and publicly through worship. He wore his faith on his sleeve. The queen gave glory to God, Solomon gave glory to God, and we give glory to God. Our text tells us that the Lord has set us free. He's delighted in us. There is an attempt that is being done by many doctors to help remove the tattoos of gang members. Because once you get that tattoo removed, you no longer belong to that group. And those people want to be free. Well, on the cross, Jesus removed the tattoo that marked us as part of Satan's gang. Through the waters of holy baptism, Jesus gave us a new identity. And like the Queen of Sheba, King Solomon, we're now free to give God glory through our lives. And we do that with our minds. God has gifted us with the capacity to think, to learn, to understand him better and people better through his word. We give him glory when we take time to hear, to listen, to study his word. And we give God glory with our possessions. How he has blessed us so. Have we become more selfish than grateful for the nice things God has given to us? And finally, we give glory to God with our hope. Because of Jesus, we have eternal hope. That hope of heaven gives us earthly perspective. We live to see good from bad. We live to give others reasons for the hope that we have. We live to pass that hope down to our children and grandchildren. Sebastian Bach, he wrote many pieces of music. And he would close with many of his writings with three letters, SDG. It stood for Sola Deo Gratia, to God alone be the glory. That's what epiphany means to us. In love, God has given us his glory, so that in thankfulness we can give him glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, Lord Jesus, you ushered in the day of grace so long foretold. You were revered by the Magi, baptized by John. You came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging. You brought the light of life to those walking in darkness. Shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our own lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope, and arouse us to flood the world with the light of your gospel. Let your peace rule our hearts so that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick, the disheartened, and give hope to those in despair. Comfort those who mourn. Hear us, Lord, as we come to you and pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.